My name is John. I'm one of the pastors up in Rochester, and it's good to be with you. Lindsay and I have been married for like 5 years almost, and we have never served in worship together. We were looking at this calendar, and I thought it was kind of funny because I told Dan that I was willing to preach here at Shine, and then they were having staff meeting planning worship services, and Lindsay texts me, and she's like, "So I found out you're preaching at Shine." And I hadn't told her, which I think gives you a little window into how we operate, you know, two ships passing in the night. None of you probably have had that experience before. And I said, yeah, I think I am. So it's so good to be here. Happy Easter to each and every one of you. I pray that you had a wonderful experience on Easter Sunday. I hope it was great here in Birmingham as it was up in Rochester. And we bring our greetings. It's good to be a ministry in the United Methodist Church where we're connectional and we share a common bond of our United Methodist heritage and connectional church. And I just wanted to start by telling you a story this morning about a father who had two sons. And you're beginning a sermon series. Pastor Dan, as Lindsay shared, is now on his way to the hospital and baby heart's in process. I've known Dan for 12 years, and he asked me to come preach to begin this sermon series about living in Christ. And so we're going to be looking at Bible stories over the next couple of weeks about what it means to live and be in Christ. And we're excited. This morning is about the prodigal son. So I'll begin with this story about a father who had two sons. Now, this father was a shopkeeper in downtown Birmingham, and he had two boys. One was older and one was younger. The older boy was always the responsible one. You probably know somebody like this individual, a person who's a high achiever, somebody who got good grades all the way through elementary school, went to only the most prestigious school in the area, Cranbrook. No, I'm just kidding. I went to Cranbrook. And he went to the greatest school in the area all the way through, got straight A's, was successful, talented, intelligent young man. And he had another boy who kind of meandered his way all the way through his elementary school years and middle school years and didn't necessarily take advantage of the great opportunity that he had growing up in life. And one day the older son came to his dad and said, "Dad, you know, I've been thinking about where I should go to college." And the father was so proud of him that the son had taken the initiative to go out of his way to come approach his dad about where to go to college, and a tear started to well up in his eye, and he was so excited for his son. And the son said, "You know, I know the economy's been really rough in this area, and people have lost their jobs, and it's been hard on you and mom, and you have worked so hard to keep your shop open in Birmingham, and I'm so proud of everything that you've done as a dad, and you've always taken care of me, and I know I could go anywhere across the United States, but Dad, I've decided, because it's so important that I help you here at home, that I'm going to go to Oakland University just down the street. I applied, I got a full ride scholarship, and everything's taken care of. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'm just going to go right down the street, and on weekends and over the winter break, I'll be able to work in the shop that you've kept open over the last 30 years of your life." And so he decided to stay at home, and he didn't have to pay all of a room and board to go to Oakland University. He lived at home. Everything was great. He was responsible, self-righteous, sort of puffed his chest out. "I got a full ride scholarship to Oakland," and he studied business management. A couple of years later, the younger son comes up to his dad, and he says, "Dad, you know, I've been thinking." Now, this is the son who didn't do well in school, who didn't achieve, who didn't take advantage of all that these wonderful schools in this area had to offer. And he went to his dad and he said, "Dad, you know, I applied for a couple scholarships and I didn't get any. Things have been really rough." And because his dad was a successful businessman, he applied for need-based scholarships through the FAFSA. And unfortunately, they came back and they said, "We don't have any money for you." And so he came to his dad and he said, "You know, I've been thinking about this school. It's in Southern California. It's Harvey Mudd College." Anybody heard of Harvey Mudd College? A couple of you. I pray that you don't have a son or daughter that went there, because I Googled Harvey Mudd College, and is the most expensive college in the entire United States. And so he came to his dad and said, "Dad, I've been thinking about Southern California. I mean, can you see me there down in Los Angeles community and just enjoying the beachfront? I mean, I've just been thinking, I need to get outside of Birmingham. I need to get outside of Michigan. I need to go to a faraway place, California." And so he said, "Would you mind writing a check for me to go to school there? Tuition and room and board is $67,255 for 1 year." Oh my word. So just to poll you guys, how many of you are bringing out the checkbook right now and saying, yeah, son, you've been great. You know, you failed out of school, basically, made all D's, and here you are. You're going to get all of my money, $67,000, and you're stroking the check, and here you go, make it off to the son. But the son says, you know, Dad, it's not enough. I think it's important that you understand that I'm going to have to get myself all the way out there. Could I take your car? Would it be all right if I had your car, too? I mean, I know you drive a nice Audi, you know, and I just would love to take your vehicle down to Southern California. The dad looks down at his shoes, kind of knows where this story is going to end up, and he says, yeah, son, you can have the car, too. And the son says, you know, I would love to have my entire tuition for the next 4 years all up front. Would it be all right if I got a check for $240,000 to go to school for the next 4 years? Would it be all right if I had an extra couple $100,000 for spending money, which would have been the equivalent of saying, Dad, would you just go ahead and die so I can have my share of your inheritance? So the dad makes an appointment with his investment advisor in downtown Birmingham, and he says, you know, my son's going off to school. I'd like to withdraw half the value of my account holdings, and I would love to just pull all this money out of the stock market and send my kid to school. So he gets $500,000, and he goes up to his son, and he says, this is half of everything I own. And the son says, thanks, Dad. Father says, no matter what you do, son, I'm going to be proud of you. I'm going to love you. I want you to know that. And in the back of the father's mind, I'm sure that he knew in some small way that his son was going to go out and blow it. But yet, nevertheless, he said, this is your inheritance. And he handed the check to the son. And the son got in his car and he started driving across the country. He took a couple of days. And you know, this son, he didn't even show up on orientation day. He didn't don the doors of Harvey Mudd College. He didn't even show up for the first day of class. He started throwing parties and going to all the expensive restaurants. In fact, the car that his dad gave him wasn't enough, so he bought another nice car in Southern California, and he went to all the same restaurants that the movie stars went to. He held lavish parties, rented an apartment on the beach, and just sat there and drank himself nearly to death. It was only a couple of weeks or months into the first semester when all of a sudden one day he walked to the ATM machine and he stuck his card in and he went to withdraw funds like he had done every single day for the last couple of months, and it came back insufficient funds. I don't know if you've ever had a day like that when you wake up and you realize that you're at the end of yourself. That you realize that all of the gifts that maybe your family or a job has given you have run out. If you've ever had a day when you've walked up to the ATM machine and you've put your card in and you've overdrafted your checking account, or if you've gone to a deep well of a reservoir of resources that you've had and you've realized you don't have anything left anymore. I don't know if you've ever walked in and seen a pink slip in your mailbox, or if you've ever gotten bad news about a medical condition for yourself or a family member, but any time in your life that you've walked up to a reservoir and it said insufficient funds, you know exactly where this boy found himself. Because he knew that his father had given him everything that he had, everything that was going to be entrusted to him several years down the road he had up front, and in a couple of weeks, he'd blown it. If you've ever been in that situation, sometimes I describe it as you can feel the blood flowing through your veins in your face. You can feel your heart beating through your chest. Your palms start to sweat, and maybe you break out in a cold sweat. Suddenly, your vision starts to close in all around you, and you can't see, feel, taste, or smell anything that's going on in the outside world. And I've got to believe as that son sat there, he was thinking, where in the world am I going to go to get myself out of this mess? He was terrified. He didn't know where to turn to. And because he had blown all of his money, he hadn't even signed up for a school meal plan. So when he walked into the school cafeteria to scan his student ID, it was the first time that he had walked onto the college campus, and he swiped his student ID in the cafeteria, and it said, no meal plans provided. Kid was hungry. And he went back to his apartment and he cried himself to sleep that night. And he woke up the next morning wondering what in the world he was going to do. He was terrified. He didn't know where to turn. He was in a faraway place. He was in a strange land, and he didn't know what to do. I pray that none of you find yourself in that space. I pray that most of you go throughout your entire life and you never find yourself seated at rock bottom or in the basement of your existence, but some of us will. Some of us will wonder where to turn, where to go, who to call, and who to reach out to in those moments. In those moments, I pray that you have a father like this kid had. Because, lo,